Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buccanani. Chris, how we doing, sir? You surviving all the snow?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm a native Pennsylvanian. I love four seasons. Find something to enjoy in all of them. Winter is not my favorite, I'm not going to lie. And it's about to get super cold here in central Pennsylvania, as well as across much of the eastern seaboard. But it comes and goes. It's fine. It toughens you up.
Chris, I like three seasons of the year. Guess which one? Guess which one I don't like. And as I get older, I like it less and less. All right, let's get moving. I'll tell you what, Chris, it was fascinating to me last week, to the pleasant surprise to, I think, every Penn State fan. We got the announcement that the running backs, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, were coming back for another year. I don't think any of us saw that coming, especially at the start of the season. But it reminded me, Chris, of a show that we did back in August. You had done some research in an article for the Bloggy about running back pairs and compared Catron Allen and Nick Singleton to some of the all-time great pairings, duos of Penn State running backs. How about just, I think now's a great time to kind of update that information. Let's start with a little bit of a review of that show from, what was it, back in August that we did that?
Yeah. So, and I'll probably read an updated version of the article this summer. Heading into this season, I think everybody logically concluded that this was going to be it for these guys. I mean, I don't think, going back to July, that I was even really thinking, Jim, about, oh, you know, in the era of NIL, you could maybe get one or both of these guys to come back by paying them. I thought, you know, this is it. Look, you start as a true freshman, you pay your dues, you put your 3 years in, and then it's off to the NFL. And even if one of them was maybe going to come back, the odds that you could bring back both of them, even heading into last week, seemed pretty steep. So I was thinking, okay, this is going to be the last rodeo for Nick and Catron. They have been taking snaps since they stepped on campus, and they've been very, very productive. How do they fit into the history of great running back duos that we've had at Penn State? Because we have a ton of great tailbacks in the history of the program. And I always say the interesting thing to me about Penn State's running back lineage is that if you made a list of your top 10 running backs all time at the program, inevitably you were going to leave off a guy like Franco Harris or John Cappelletti. You could even make a very defensible list that leaves off Evan Royster, and he is, at least for now, the career rushing yardage leader. We've had so many good players at the position. But then we've also had moments where we have two great ones at the same time. And so I just wanted to see how Nick and Catron fit into that heading into 2023. And what I found is that they were already right up there with the greats in the program. If you looked at pairs of running backs who shared their entire careers, so they didn't come in at different times, they came in at the same time, they left at the same time, they were in the top five all time. The greatest pairing heading into this season in terms of productivity and talent, probably, playing together, was Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell. But going into the 2024 regular season, the top five shared career pairings of running backs was Harrison Mitchell, and then Mike Gooman and Matt Sui, Bill Belton and Zach Zwinek, and then you got to Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. So they were already in the top four, really, heading into this season. And then if you just looked at single-season performances by a pair of running backs where there was an even distribution of productivity, I always looked for a minimum 70-30 split so that the lesser back in terms of yards produced was still chipping in quite a lot to the total for the season. They appeared in the top 10 twice. So they were at number two for the 2022 Rose Bowl season and then dipped off a little bit statistically in their sophomore year, but it was still good enough for eighth all time from just a single season for a pair of running backs productivity-wise?
So they were already at that point. What does this past season, the 24 season, where does that season fit in?
Well, just starting with single season production, it was almost inevitable that as long as they stayed relatively healthy, they were going to go from having two of the top 10 seasons to three. And indeed they did. And they actually bested themselves, Jim. They knocked their 2022 season out of the number two slot with this season. So they now have two of the top three seasons all time. Interesting, though, just how much the game of football has changed. They played a combined 31 games this season. The number one spot for a single season by a duo of Penn State running backs is still held by Franco Harris and Lydell Mitchell from 1971 in a combined 22 games. They tallied 2,252 yards together. Nick and Catron were at 2,207, and they scored 32 touchdowns on the ground. For comparison, Nick and Catron this season got in the end zone 20 times.
All right. Now, do you have number of carries for in comparison of the two?
I do. And that's where you look at it, and it's actually not that wide a delta. Franco and Lydell in those 22 games, Jim, had a combined 377 carries. In 31 games, Nick and Catron only had a combined 392 touches. I'm not counting receptions in there at all. This is just rushing.
All right. And that explains the difference of the nature of the game. I think we, at one time, you and I talked about the quarterbacks for these different teams. And I need to go back and take a look, but the 1969 undefeated Penn State team, look up the passing statistics there, and it's crazy in comparison with today's game.
Sure.
So what I took a look at, and I, when this came up, I'll give credit somewhere else, randomly, some unnamed person put out a listing of Penn State's top 20 running backs and showed where, just based on total yards rushing. And Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, they total yards come in number 10 and 11 on the list. The first thing, it wasn't about them as a duo, but just overall number 10 and 11, which doesn't sound all that impressive, Chris, until you start to look at the names on this list.
It's extremely impressive.
And I'm not going to bore people going, but just the top like 10. Royster, Barkley, Kurt Warner, Tony Hunt, Blair Thomas, Curtis Enos, DJ Dozier, Larry Johnson, Lydell Mitchell, then Singleton and Allen. And oh, by the way, number 12 is Kajana Carter, only number 12. And I said some of these numbers are just phenomenal here. And you and I had a discussion last week. We were talking about all-time best tight end and you know, where Tyler Warren fits. And I mentioned also that I thought maybe Saquon Barkley was the best running back. You gave a little pushback on that. And I believe you came up with Kajana Carter as your name. Is that correct?
I don't know if I consider Kajana the best all time. I mean, it's a complicated conversation. Listen, you really should not have a conversation about the best running back to ever play at Penn State without mentioning Lenny Moore. I mean, he was, granted, a totally different era, played back in the 1950s, but we still talk about Jim Brown in hushed tones, and they actually played against each other in college. A game, I always say, if I could go back and watch one Penn State game I wasn't alive for, might be that one. And, you know, just a dynamic college player, a Hall of Fame player in the NFL. And Joe Paterno said on multiple occasions, he thinks Lenny Moore might be the most complete football player he ever watched play, which is high praise when you consider the talent Joe watched come through Happy Valley. So that's a name that needs to be mentioned. And certainly Kajana, the one thing I always think about when I remember his career at Penn State is no matter where the ball was spotted on the field, every time he touched it, you felt like there was at least a 10% chance that run might end in the end zone.
And it probably did about that often. But what struck me in looking at this list is his average yards per carry, over 7 yards for a career, yes. Chris.
Yeah, so insane.
If a guy has that in a single game, we're so totally impressed. He did it over his career, which is just mind-boggling. But circling back, though, to Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, what we're seeing, Chris, from them is each of them 1,000 yards rushing. But as you pointed out, because they don't run the ball as much today as they did 10, 20, 30 years ago, they don't get all that many carries. So even though it's over more games, and yes, there probably needs to be a little bit of an asterisk there, we got to see two running backs in the same backfield in the same year rush for over 1,000 yards. How special is that?
Yeah, I am still wrapping my brain around exactly where to orient these guys in terms of thinking about them in the context of all the other great runners that we've had. I talk about how difficult it was prior to their careers to make a top 10 list of Penn State running backs. Wait until they're done in the blue and white. It's going to get that much more complicated.
It really is. And here is something, you know, fascinating. And I'm going to ask you this question, but where Evan Royster is at 3,932 yards. That's his career total. That's the record at Penn State. Right now, Nick Singleton is at 2,912. Catron Allen right behind him at 2,877, which, by the way, I find fascinating, too, also that the two of them are ranked one right after the other in all-time total yards. But here's the math going into next season. Nick Singleton is 1,020 yards away from matching Evan Royster. Catron Allen is 1,055 yards away. All right. Very doable numbers for each one of them. So here's how I'm going to leave this segment, Chris, and I'm going to give you the break to think about it. When this season is over, will one, the other, or both, or neither, surpass Evan Royster for the all-time rushing yards at Penn State? Your answer when we come back from the break. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Chris Buchanani. I'm Jim Galante. Chris, we're talking running backs. Specifically, we're talking about the combo of Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. When we left segment number one, I gave you the career rushing totals for Nick Singleton, Catron Allen versus Evan Royster, who's the career leader at Penn State in rushing yards. Nick Singleton needs 1,020 yards to match. Catron Allen needs 1,055 yards to match. At the end of this season, will we be talking about a new all-time rushing leader at Penn State, or possibly even two of them? Catron Allen and Nick Singleton becoming one and two.
Well, the one thing that's going to be fascinating, Jim, is to see how they manage the touches for them, especially as they maybe both potentially get close to the record. I thought the craziest thing, wouldn't it be funny if they somehow ended up tied? That would be the most fitting thing at the end. If they finished with the exact same number of rushing yards, tied for the program lead, in all-time rushing yards. Incidentally, speaking about that balance you talked about before the break, at that number two season in all-time top 10 performances in a single season by a tandem of Penn State running backs that I talked about, this 2024 campaign for Nick Singleton and Catron Allen is the only one where there was an even 50-50 split in productivity. You know, I think Nick finished with a handful more yards of than Catron, but when you do the math, percentage-wise, as decimal points, it all rounds up to 50-50. So they have been about as equal as you can get in their careers, in their season last year, and it would only be fitting, right, if we could somehow figure out a way to get the yardage to tie exactly. I don't think that will happen, but I'll tell you what, the goals this team has heading into 2025, they should play enough games, and those guys should get enough carries that I think both of them can do it. And I think as long as they want to, they will. And so that's just the question that needs to be answered. James Franklin and Juwan Sider need to sit those guys down, and now that they're coming back, understand what their goals are for this season. And if they ask to have a little bit more of a managed workload, you know, with some of the other younger running backs starting to get more into the rotation, I think for sure you've got to honor whatever those guys want to do here in their last go-around at Penn State. So to me, it's really up to, is that a goal that Nick and Catron both want to pursue, with the understanding that they will put a little bit more wear and tear on the tires before they head off to the NFL? And if they want to do it, I think that they will.
And, well, that's the interesting thing. You talk about the potential wear and tear on them, which is something that, in talking about running backs going to the NFL, that's one of the issues. Running backs are probably the position in the NFL that gets turned over the quickest. It's hard to have a long NFL career. Injury, yeah. You get hit so many times. Now, by having the two together, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton, that workload has been managed. And I don't have the whole season numbers in front of me, Chris, but what I did for a completely different reason is I took a look at the last four games that Penn State played, which was Oregon in the conference championship game and then playoff games against SMU, Boise State, and Notre Dame. Now, I know some people say, oh, Boise State, SMU, not big time. Hey, they were top 10 teams, okay? They weren't Kent State, they weren't Villanova, they weren't Delaware. So this wasn't racking up numbers against poor competition. But in the last four games, these two players, neither one of them had a game where they had 20 carries. So when you talk about managing workload, it feels like they've already been doing that. And, yeah. You know, when you get their combined carries are 24, 25, 29, and 34 for these four games. You split that pretty much in half. Guess what? Nobody gets over 20 carries. So my feeling is they've already been managing their workload. I can't imagine either one of these guys saying, you know, I get about 15 carries a game. Give me less than that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And the coaching staff has done a tremendous job maintaining that balance with two really talented football players over the course of three seasons. And there were a lot of whispers that no matter what Nick Singleton did, whether he came back or he went on to the NFL, that maybe Catron Allen was ready to look elsewhere. You know, again, maybe go to the NFL or maybe go in the transfer portal if he wanted to play one more year of college. And the special thing about these guys, Jim, is that I think they really do. They just love being a part of this team. They love playing alongside one another, and they love being Nittany Lions. And what I've heard, and again, you know, this thing gets filtered through second and third hand filters. I didn't sit and talk with Catron Allen about it personally. But it was the playoff run and the way he was playing and just the camaraderie of it and the sense of unfinished business after the Orange Bowl that changed his mind. You know, I really think in this era of player movement and so much emphasis on building your personal brand and always putting yourself above everything else, the team, your teammates, the school, whatever. The fact that these guys are having superlative college careers, they are doing it while sharing the spotlight, and that they've managed to maintain that for what's now going to be a full four-year college career, and they've been doing it since the moment they stepped on campus. That, to me, as a fan and as a Penn Stater, that makes this so much more enjoyable than just, hey, look, we've got good football players who are playing well.
I'm glad you brought that up. Now, in the third quarter, we're going to talk a little bit about that whole concept at Penn State and how they're handling NIL. But looking at these two players, Allen and Singleton, I mentioned that I looked at the numbers for the last four games. And I did it for this specific reason, Chris, and this may be even part of their decision. There had to be a couple games during the season where one or the other has not played particularly well or didn't get the numbers, or maybe they were dinged up a little bit. But it felt like in these last four games, just everything came together. Was it that they were both healthy, that the offensive line had put it together, that the coaching staff in play calling had figured something out? And I guess I'm going to ask you the question to figure it out for me, but the numbers for these last four games, Catron Allen, 61 carries, 410 yards. I'm no math major, Chris, but in the last four games, 410 yards rushing, that's an average of over 100 yards a game for Catron Allen. Probably his best streak of games while at Penn State, averaging 6.7 yards a carry. Meanwhile, Nick Singleton, a few less carries, 51 carries, 366 yards, a 7.2 yard per carry. Now, Chris, this is combined the two of them. That's 110 carries between the two of them. It's four games. It's not an insignificant number of games, but it's four games against four very good teams. My question, what the heck is going on? Did they find something? All of a sudden, those two guys became unstoppable.
Yeah, but probably a combination of a few things. Sometimes you just get on a heater and you're feeling it, right? But I think, Jim, you hit on the two primary explanations for that. The first of which being, I think both of those guys were healthier in that four-game stretch than they had been through parts of the season. Catron and Nick especially just got nicked up over the course of the season, no pun intended. And then the other thing was, yeah, you definitely saw the offensive line, which played well all year, really come into its own and click as we got into the postseason. And that's another reason why I'm very excited for these two guys and for this upcoming year for Penn State. I think the offensive line is set to be a strength of the team once again.
I'm with you that it was, but everything just felt like it fell into place. Now, when Lydell Mitchell, Franco Harris, that was it the 1971 year that you talked about that they said, I was 11 years old. Okay. So you're getting the memory from a long time ago of an 11-year-old's thinking. But my feeling was, my goodness, my memory is just give it to one of those two guys and everything will be good. You know, that's just a simplistic 11-year-old's thought.
Sure.
And now let's turn to a 64-year-old watching these last four games. Chris, it was the exact same feeling. Hey, get the ball to Catron Allen, get the ball to Nick Singleton. And we've seen the explosiveness of Nick Singleton, but it was Catron Allen, and especially in that Boise State game, I don't think we've seen that from a Catron Allen.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Catron is he has such an interesting running style because he's certainly more of a power back, right? Like, he doesn't have the explosive home run hitting speed that Nick Singleton does, but he's got such good footwork and vision, and he's so patient as a runner. And it does really seem like maybe a switch flipped for him where he started to figure out how to take all of those natural talents. And despite the fact that he's been doing this for a long time, it looked like he figured out how to put them all together and take his game up another level, which is really exciting. Thinking back to that 71 season, Jim, you kind of wish maybe Andy Kotelnicki could have taken a cue from the play calling from that era of Penn State football a few more times. But on the flip side is, imagine if we could actually somehow figure out how to give opposing defenses a downfield passing attack to worry about in 2025. How much more dangerous will the run game become in that situation?
And it's 2025 that I want to talk to you about, first of all, in the context of these two running backs and what we could expect from them next year and how we got to this point, Chris, where all of a sudden we start to get Drew Aller saying he's coming back. The running backs are coming back. And then just one domino after another kept falling.
Yeah.
Yep. We want to run this back. We want to do it again. And what I'm wondering too, in the larger sense, Chris, is that the model of how to win a national championship? Because if you look at the last 2 years, look at Michigan from 2 years ago, veteran team, they decided to run it back after losing in the playoff semifinals. This Ohio State team that we saw from the start of the season, they spent all the money, but they brought a whole bunch of NFL players back, running it back again. We'll see it when we saw how that worked out for them. We'll talk about that when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State football. Specifically, we've been talking about the running backs, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, making their return. And Chris, just in the overview, first of all, this does not happen without NIL, correct?
100%.
And the whole nature of college football has changed. We all know every college football fan in the world has complained about the transfer portal, has complained about NIL. But what it has done is allowed certain teams to put it together, because NIL allows them to, hey, bring the gang back again for another try. We saw it the last couple of years with Michigan, Ohio State. Chris, I had multiple people send me, this reminds them of 85 into 86.
Sure.
And
up to and including the quarterback getting killed by the fans for having a bad game in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, I'll throw in 81 and 82, because I remember thinking that 81 team was very, very good. And maybe at the end of the season, I remember saying to myself, I think they are currently the best team in the country at the end of the 81 season. And guess what? The gang came back, and 82 was a national championship season.
Sure.
So that seems to be the way to do it. But I also think, Chris, that at Penn State, we are seeing the model that James Franklin is using. It's not Colorado at the extreme, or even, say, Ole Miss, where, you know what, I'm going to really build my talent base through using the power of NIL and the transfer portal to bring in more talent. It seems to be at Penn State, and they've been talking about this for years, retaining their talent, and this year just seems to be the absolute epitome of it, that they're using the power of NIL to bring back all their best players.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I can't think of, and I don't know if you can come up with one, but I can't think of a team that has just gone out and gone on a wild free agent spending spree and had a lot of success. The distinction between that approach and what Ohio State did, which was, yes, to bring in a couple of key pieces through the portal, but primarily to rely on NIL to retain their talent and keep players who in any other era, the financial imperative for them to move on to the NFL would have been just too strong. But now you can keep them around. And as I think you and I have discussed previously, that's better for the NFL as well, because they're getting more polished players. So it's improving the quality of the product of both college and pro football, I think. But yeah, most of these guys, the vast, vast majority who are in the transfer portal are there for a reason. If you're Jeremiah Smith and you're having all the success in the world at Ohio State, you're not leaving Ohio State. You got to go out and recruit Jeremiah Smith and then pay the guy to keep him in your program probably. But, you know, that's why there's going to be no panacea for the wide receiver position for Penn State out of the portal. That said, you know, they absolutely have to open the checkbook in the spring and go out and get the best possible player. But yeah, you've got to make tactical supplemental additions to your roster. And it's still based on a foundation of high school recruiting for sure. You want to compete for national championships.
And if you look at the players, I said they brought all their best players back. Well, no, they didn't. Abdul Carter, he's going to be top of the first round. You're not going to get Abdul Carter to come back. No, and nobody expected him to.
Sure.
He made the absolute, you know, right decision for himself. But don't you get the feeling that Penn State said, all right, here, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, if you're not going to be a first, and I'd mentioned those two, but you could use any player. If you're not going to be a first round or possibly second round pick, you could make now be making more money for a year in college than you can necessarily in the NFL. And NFL contracts aren't guaranteed.
Yes, exactly right. I was going to say, and that money is guaranteed. And it probably doesn't hurt that the most high-profile running back in the sport is Saquon Barkley. He's one of the biggest sports stars in America right now, and he's a Penn State alum. So probably these guys are paying very close attention to his experience. And if you're as good as Saquon Barkley is and as much of a game-changing player and you still get jerked around on your contract because of the position that you play, that probably drives that point home better than anything, right? So I don't know what all goes into this decision-making. All I know is that as a Penn State fan, I am appreciative of those guys. If they never took another snap in blue and white, they'd be all-time greats. The fact that they're coming back and we get to see them play one more year, I'm ecstatic. So however we got there, I'm just thankful and I'm looking forward to the ride.
And somebody has got to put the two of them together for some kind of marketing campaign. Do you not?
Absolutely. Yes. And that would actually be one of the rare examples of real name, image, and likeness marketing, Jim. Not just funneling money to college football players, which is fine, by the way. Funneling
money. And the other part of this, by the way, is I think some of these players, by playing in the playoffs the way they did, they are becoming national profile players.
Yes.
So Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, they are not just known by Penn State fans. They will have a national name. So will Drew Aller, especially going into next season.
Sure.
But also,
real quickly, by the way, yeah, that just got me thinking about something. You're talking about the way they played in the playoffs and elevated their profile. And before we were talking about Catron Allen taking his game up a notch, how about we always think about Nick as the Lightning and Catron as the Thunder, right? But Nick in that Orange Bowl was just, you know, especially when they get down into the goal line situations, he was just powering his way to those touchdowns against the very physical Notre Dame defensive front. And Catron appears to be getting more explosive and shifty in the open field. If both of those guys add to their games a little bit of the element that gives the other one his top strength, again, can you imagine what Andy Kotelnicki is going to be able to cook up this offseason, knowing the run blocking he's going to get from that offensive line?
And the other part of this too, Chris, as far as I look at offensive players as weapons more so than just that's a tight end, that's a wide receiver, that's a running back. Okay. And you saw the ultimate of Tyler Warren being a weapon being used in so many ways. That's my very long way to make a small point, which is how about the use of Nick Singleton and Katron Allen as receivers out of the backfield?
So if, for example, Nick Singleton was wide open on a wheel route, if we can, over the course of this offseason, convince Drew Aller to plant his feet and get that ball within a little bit less of a country mile from a wide open Nick Singleton, that would be very effective. Yes.
That is why I have you on this show, Chris, for that expert analysis. Quarterback, be more accurate with your passes, right?
I really hope that Drew does not take John Schaefer style abuse this offseason. I've actually been encouraged by the number of Penn State fans I've seen online not ripping on him, because as I've often been heard to say, every sports fan base in America is horrible on the internet, every single one, including ours. And I thought it was going to be brutal, and it's been south of brutal. I think it's because there are so many players coming back. There's so much excitement and enthusiasm for this season. People are trying to accentuate the positive. But for real, if you compare Drew Aller's 2023 to his 2024, it's night and day. He improved so much in so many aspects of his game, on and off the field. I think he grew a lot as a leader as well. The kid's only 20 years old. So let's not convince ourselves that the final chapter of the book is already written.
Well, the couple things there, Chris, is I also think of Drew Aller as a kid who's willing to do the work to get better. If you learn anything about, say, his high school career, he was not this really highly regarded quarterback from, you know, an underclassman, freshman, sophomore. If he might be a Buckeye right now, but he wasn't considered that way. But he worked on it to make his game better. We all know about, you know, the quarterback coach, private quarterback coach that he had brought in to get better. And he did. He obviously got better. As you pointed out, from 23 to 24, he got better. I have no doubt the 25 version of Drew Aller will be better than what we saw in 24. But the other part to it, Chris, is every sports fan loves the redemption story.
Yeah.
And boy, are we going to get a chance at that early next season, Oregon coming into Happy Valley in September.
And hey, guess what? Spoiler alert. Talented athletes perform better the more reps they get, right? So, you know, you look at Bo Nix, to me, is like just a perfect example. You and I have joked about this before. When that guy came to the whiteout in 2021, did you think to yourself, man, I am watching one of the top picks in the NFL draft one day? No, absolutely not. But he took advantage of exactly this effect we've been talking about. The ability to, you know, if you have to, go find a system and a coach that fits your talents, and also stay in college a little bit longer because you can make a fair amount of money doing it. And Bo Nix grew himself into a top NFL draft pick and had a great rookie season, I think attributable to the fact that he'd already done so much growing and learning in college. So, yeah, I am not writing off the future of Drew Aller whatsoever.
Well, and I've talked about this on prior shows, Chris, is I think in some sports there's this feeling of get them to the professional level as quickly as possible. We see that in the NBA. They don't want to draft seniors. They want to draft freshmen, and we'll mold them. We'll make them what they need to be. But I think the narrative for quarterbacks has changed where, you know what, we don't want the kid with one season of starts. We want the kid who's had, you know, three seasons of starting in college and has that experience. Not only Bo Nix, Michael Penix is the other example.
Sure,
Chris.
And yeah, it's win-win, as I said before, for college and the NFL.
It definitely is. We're getting better quality players and teams in college. Plus, you get to follow that player for more years. Like right now, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton fans, they're back for more. That's a great thing for Penn State fans. They want to see more. And by the time they get to the NFL, and Drew Aller particularly, they'll be a finished product. We got one more quarter to go. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris, I'm Jim. We're talking about this Penn State team coming up for the 2025 season. We had so much news in the last week or two, Chris, where just about everybody's coming back. We began this conversation with the running backs today, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton coming back, and where they might end up. But with this season particularly, it's going to be about that offensive line too. They put it together. Any reason why this can't be one of the very best offensive lines in our memory at Penn State?
Yeah, no, definitely not. The talent and the depth. I keep hitting on the depth, not just on the O-line, but across the roster. That's what you feel confident about it. To me, almost more the depth than what I know about the frontline talent. It's those two things in combination. If you go back and you look at James Franklin's first run of really good teams at Penn State, so 2016 up through 2019, I think one of the major factors, maybe the decisive factor, holding that team back from cracking through and getting to that elite plateau he talked about after the 2018 Ohio State game, was that they didn't have the depth over the course of a season, especially a season that just seems to keep getting longer and longer, Jim. The natural attrition rewards the teams that have gone out and found starter caliber talent who can sit inside their two and even their three deep. So if you lose a player for whether it's a few snaps or a few games, you've got somebody who can step in and play at a level that's commensurate with competing at the top of the Big Ten. And Penn State's there now, and we have that on the offensive line. I was just talking the other day with somebody, depending on how a couple of these camp battles shake out, we could go 8 or possibly even 9 deep, maybe even 10 if you want to get really crazy, on the offensive line, where we say, hey, we feel like we've got what I'll describe as starter caliber players, guys who can start in the thick of a competitive Big Ten conference game scenario, and we don't feel like there's an appreciable drop-off. Like we're at the level we need to be at with that guy on the field. And if you essentially go too deep across your entire offensive line, that is just, I mean, that's magical compared to what we've seen on the O-line over the years at Penn State.
Well, let's talk about some of the names on the offensive line. Now, there's a couple guys that haven't come out publicly and announced they'll be back, but
right,
you know, people like Drew Shelton, Vega Ioane. But with the assumption that those guys are coming back, the only one leaving would be Sal Warmley, correct?
Correct.
And who do you see being plugged in there? Is that Cooper Cousins' position?
Oh, I think that's Cooper for sure. I don't think they can keep him off the field any longer, and I think he'll be plug and play at right guard.
So if we do this across from left to right.
To be fair, I think so highly of Cooper Cousins, and I like Sal Warmley a lot. I think it's hard to imagine that Cooper won't be an upgrade there.
I think they wanted to get him on the field this year, and the assumption was, I think if Nick Dawkins moved on, you had your next center there, sure, with Cooper Cousins. At the very least, yeah, you plug him in at right guard. And then J.B. Nelson saying he's going to come back.
Big.
Big. But if I'm projecting the starting lineup going across the board as Drew Shelton, left guard Ioane, center Nick Dawkins, Cooper Cousins at right guard, and then right tackle, Anthony Duncan was the starter, was a very good starter, was really good starter, gets hurt, and lo and behold, Nolan Rucci comes in and looked like the best offensive lineman out there, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's going to be fun to watch what happens at the right tackle position. And again, Anthony Duncan is only going to be a redshirt sophomore. So, you know, if Nolan continues to play the way he did down the stretch, I really do think he may end up holding down that job. And it's great to know that you have a guy who at points was maybe the most consistent offensive lineman for Penn State this past season, waiting in the wings. And then, as you said, you know, you talk about some of these younger guys, Javon Williams at guard, Egan Boyer, and to a lesser extent, Garrett Sexton at tackle. I mean, it might be a little bit too much to assume Garrett Sexton's going to be ready to go next season. But man, I've just seen Chuck Losey work some absolute miracles in terms of what he does with guys' physical development over the course of a single offseason. So then it just comes down to how ready are you to play. And, you know, same thing with Boyer. I know they think very highly of him. Ideally, you don't really want to have either one of those guys in a conversation that doesn't involve garbage time snaps. But injuries happen over the course of the season. The question is, how can you continue to produce at a high level when circumstances dictate that you play the guys who are deeper into your depth chart? And so the fact that we have a few of these names just based in terms of their recruiting pedigree and what we think we know about Phil Troutwine's ability to develop them, who can sit kind of deeper in the depth chart, but still potentially project as contributors if called upon, like that to me, that is one of the biggest differentiators between great 2016 to 2019 and elite, which is how we want to look back and think about 2022 to 2025 and beyond.
Well, and you also look at it just up front when you talked about at the tackle position, some of those
young. Can I just stop you for a second? Because yeah. Every once in a while you like to send me screen caps or like the emails and text messages you get from the listeners to this program. Yeah. Just so it's clear to everybody, I'm not saying we're elite now. I know we didn't have a big win this season. I know we lost the Peach Bowl. I know we lost the Orange Bowl. I am talking about if everything gets recontextualized by winning, okay? We think about 1978 differently because of 82 and 86, and we go and we do something special. We play in the national championship in 2025. And look, 2024 and 2022, they are going to look a lot better by comparison. Okay, just, I'm not saying we're elite now, so please, like, save your piping fingers, folks.
Well, the fact is, like, I made the comparisons, and several of my listeners did also, about this past season is reminiscent of 85, which led to the 86 national championship. I brought in 81 leading to the 82 national championship. That happens. That's the nature of the sport, especially when you have all these players coming back. Now, talking offensive line again, you mentioned some of the youngsters who maybe won't be playing significant downs, important downs, but in our scenario, we have J.B. Nelson and either Anthony Duncan or Nolan Rucci not starting, Chris.
Yeah.
And you still have that ability. You know how Andy Kotelnicki, he likes to use Vega Ioane, puts him out in motion. I still want to see him catch a pass, but that's a whole nother discussion. But, oh, by the way, you just plug in J.B. Nelson at left guard, and you could do all the fun stuff with Vega Ioane. But Chris, the one place, you know, we're talking a lot about the offense, we got to talk about the wide receiver position. And, you know, it's going to be a complete turnover in that room. But I want to tie it into something I alluded to earlier with the NIL stuff. There's the point where it goes both ways. It's not just the player saying, hey, I'm looking to move on, make more money or whatever. It's also about the team saying, you know what? We're going to allocate funds to bring Drew Aller back, Nick Singleton back. Am I the only one who got the impression? I thought Trey Wallace has so much talent. I'm just waiting for it to come out. But for Trey Wallace and Omari Evans to leave, am I the only one who gets the feeling that the team didn't say, hey, we want you to stay. We'll do what it takes to keep you here. It was more, okay, let them move on.
Yeah, there was no question. I'm not dogging Trey Wallace's talent. I think the odds are probably actually pretty high that he'll go and find success with his next team. And I hope he's able to identify the right fit for him, because I think that's important. I just think it got to a point with both players and team that it was going to be beneficial for everybody to move on. You know, I heard a lot of chatter at the end of the season. Oh, you know, oh, maybe we're playing the national championship game if we still had Keandre Lambert-Smith. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I doubt it. Let's put it that way. I think what a 5-7 Auburn with Hugh Freeze's disastrous locker room climate, that seems like it was a hand-in-glove fit for Keandre. So I'm glad he went down there and he got his numbers and he got his 5 wins. And now, you know, he can go and be a fifth round NFL draft pick. So I wish him lots of luck. Sometimes it's just time to part ways. And I think that's where we got with these wideouts. Although it did crack me up. 72 hours after the Orange Bowl, you could not find a pleasant thing being said about those guys, some of which I probably can't even say on the radio. Some of the stuff I was reading about Omari Evans and Trey Wallace. And the moment they jump in the transfer portal, it's like, you know, we're losing Allen Robinson and Bobby Engram here. Just incredible, incredible.
Well, then we got to talk about what we do have, which is Kyren Hudson, Devontae Ross coming in from Troy and USC. Chris, are those the starting wide receivers, or is it yet to be determined?
They better not be. You can sell your Penn State 2025 stock right out the gate, okay? If we go into this season with those two guys as a number one and number two, it's just a catastrophic failure by the coaching staff and the athletic department and anybody who's in charge of going out there and buying talent. Devontae Ross, to me, is just a completely unknown commodity. You can watch his tape from Troy, and you can see a really promising talent. But as we learned with Dante Cephas, it is just so hard to project how a guy is going to perform going from a lesser level of competition up to the highest level. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think Tez Johnson from Oregon, I think he was a Troy guy. So, I mean, sometimes it works beautifully, sometimes it doesn't. Kyren Hudson, I think, is a little bit more polished. I think he is a bit more of a known commodity, but he's not a number one. I think he'd make a great number two. But if he's supposed to be your top receiving option, then we should be really thankful for all the good tight ends we've got.
Yeah, I am thankful for all the good tight ends. So do you fall back into the spring portal then to try to find your number one receiver? Because that's typically not the formula.
Spend what you got to spend. Tamper with whomever you must tamper with. It must be done. It is an absolute imperative.
All right. That's going to be the final word. Chris Buchanani's advice, tampering. It's not like nobody else.
No, there's no tampering. It's no rules. It's all fake. The Big Ten in Wisconsin are going to get their butts kicked in court if this thing ends up in a courtroom. There's no rules. Do what you got to do.
And that's a conversation we're going to have at another show as we're out of time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.